Welcome to the Language and Travel Hacking Podcast from Fluent in 3 months.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Language and Travel Hacking Podcast. I'm your host, Benny Lewis, and in today's episode, I want to talk about my own story with the Irish language. And you may have seen in a recent episode that I shared that my current language of focus is Irish, ahead of a longer visit home that's going to be a pattern for me for the next years where I get to practice again, since the US has been my base for about 15 years, and I'm going to move that base back to Ireland over the next few years. That's going to give me way more of a chance to practice my Irish. And someday I want to speak it fluently. It's really been a very specific goal of mine. For now, I have something along the lines of a conversational B1 level, where if people speak to me slowly, I can have the conversation be about many different topics. And that's way better than where I was at the end of school. So the school situation for the Irish language is a little tricky, because it is a different experience for different people. The language is mandatory for most people in Ireland. And nowadays, fortunately, it's taught way better. But in the 90s, it was very academic, totally unrelatable, frankly boring, and super grammar heavy. So I was never inspired to put any effort into it. And when it came to the end of high school exams, that in Ireland we call them the leaving certificate, I was doing the honours level, the difficult version of the exam for all my subjects except for Irish. I dropped down to the ordinary level because I knew that was the only way I was not going to fail, so that I could at least guarantee that I could go to university. So I put in the absolute basic level of effort. I think we started taking the lessons from age around 6. So I've been learning Irish, technically learning in quotation marks, for 10 years, and I could not say anything. I think if somebody asked me to say something in Irish when I first started traveling, I would not have been able to say more than one or two phrases. So definitely a very unfortunate place to be after 10 years. But that is the situation for many people my age. Like I said, it is getting better nowadays. So hopefully it isn't a similar situation for the next generation. But ultimately, I didn't like learning the language, and I didn't do anything with it at all after I finished secondary school and all through college and several years into my travels. But as I was beginning to eye this goal of becoming a polyglot, I'd learned Spanish, I'd learned Italian, and I'd learned French, and I had already decided I really want to be able to do this for multiple languages. That's my goal. I'm going to be working on this for several years. And I was in France at the time. I might have mentioned this to a French person, and they said something that really got me to genuinely think about this. They said, so you want to learn all these other languages, but do you speak your own country's language? And they didn't say it with any spite or anything. They were just genuinely curious. And I didn't have a good answer for them, that like I had not been interested in Irish, and I wasn't interested in any language really in school. I did take German, but I barely passed that one. So languages just weren't a passion for me. And that kind of coupled in with the fact that I wasn't going to be putting any effort into Irish in particular. But when I was faced with that question, I realized, you know what, I'm learning all these other countries' languages, and I'm realizing that the language is opening up so many things to me, that maybe I should actually give my own country's language a chance, and maybe this would open up a lot of my own historical culture to me. So that transformed what I had decided I was going to do in my language learning story. And in my case, I needed to learn other languages before I could realize that I even could do that, and that it would be a very satisfying experience, and that it could be something that you could be very active in and very social through, and make friends with the language. And I had been immersing myself in country, trying to speak with my speak from day one approach and surrounding myself with people who don't speak English. So initially that meant that that approach would not work with Irish, because you're just not going to meet any Irish person that doesn't speak English. So I brought this up and I mentioned it to my mother, and she's a fluent Irish speaker, and she grew up with much more Irish in her life and still to this day actively tries to use it. And she suggested a specific adult language immersion program. And I haven't done this for my other languages, but Irish's unique situation meant that going to just like spontaneously going to a village in the region of Ireland that speaks Irish would not have been as effective. So I did need something like a more supportive environment, because generally my other languages, I go to huge cities and that just gives me so many people I can meet. Whereas you don't really, like, we have cities in Ireland, but we don't have Irish only speaking cities. So I used a program called Aegis Gael, and I'm going to link to them in the show notes if you're curious, because they're still going to this day. And they use activities like traditional Irish dancing and singing, playing musical instruments, hill walking, and loads more, with morning language lessons that are more about like trying to actually speak the language and using it much more naturally. So I gave that a whirl and it definitely made a huge difference. Normally people only go for a single week, but I signed up for multiple consecutive weeks. I think maybe 6 weeks, like one after the other. I made a YouTube video about it back in the day, so you can still see my first ever experience trying to learn Irish as I was starting off. And I was very strict with myself during those 6 weeks, and maybe I did a little preparation a week or two before. But that summer immersion got me the bulk of the way I needed to be, and it got me to that B1 level. Obviously, I might have had some recollection from the 10 years of schooling. Something might have crept in, but to be honest, I really was not paying attention. I think the only advantage I had was the fact that I was Irish, and other people coming from abroad weren't as used to our spelling system that's quite unique. And if you know lots of Irish names, you're a lot more familiar with it. And a lot of our expressions that we say in English come from Irish. So maybe I had a slight advantage that way. But realistically, it truly felt like I was starting from scratch. Yeah, I did get where I more or less wanted to be. And from there, I did a similar immersion program in Galway. That first one I mentioned was in Donegal in the northwest of Ireland. I've spoken Irish in other places, like in my hometown and even in Dublin. And I've been at language events around the world that I've mentioned multiple times on this podcast, that I'll actually put an Irish flag on my badge specifically to say that you can speak Irish to me. And when people have seen that, I have been spoken to in Irish in the likes of Brazil and in Taiwan and Korea, and plenty of other places. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I've gotten to use it in many different situations, and I was even interviewed live on Irish language radio. And that's another situation that you can see on my YouTube channel, because I put my camera up, I recorded it, and I uploaded it. And that kind of thing would have been absolutely impossible to my mind based on my previous experience. But even someone like me, who barely passed the lower level of Irish, can completely turn his situation around. So that is how I got into it originally. But since then, for about 15 years, my travels have made it so that I only really end up spending about 2 weeks a year total in Ireland. So it's never been enough time to get that much momentum back up again. So I'd still study and try to get spoken lessons online to stay on top of things. But without a solid, true chance to practice, my skills have slipped over the years. And that's why I'm focusing on Irish now specifically for a month ahead of going home for 6 weeks. And knowing that I'm eventually moving my logistical base back to Ireland, which it's currently in the US, and that's why I've spent so much time in the US for the last decade or so. But I'm going to be spending way more time in Ireland each year, despite the fact that I will still be a nomad. I'm still going to be traveling most of the time. but it means I'm going to be spending maybe 2 months a year or more in Ireland. And that's going to give me way more speaking opportunities and hopefully a situation where I know I can push towards fluency and beyond. But just for now, I only want to reactivate my language skills to where I was at my peak. And that is my short-term goal. And the more lofty goals, they will definitely be coming soon in my future visits home. And yeah, that's my situation with the Irish language, in case you didn't know. I figured I would fill you guys in. I hope you found that interesting. I'll give you an update on how it goes after that, and you'll be hearing in future episodes from when I try to push myself even further. So that's it. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. And until next time, happy language learning and happy travels.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Language and Travel Hacking Podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you found this episode valuable and want to help us out, please leave a review at languagehacking.com/review. The Language and Travel Hacking Podcast is presented by Benny Lewis and produced by Kittichai Boonthong, with special thanks to the Fluent in 3 Months team. The theme music was written and performed by Shannon Kennedy. Find the show notes at languagehacking.com/podcast. Thank you for listening. Happy language learning and happy travels.